Okay, now today we are going to continue again as usual in what we have been discussing in the last few. Today will be third day. Remember, we started this season. We said we are discussing what we called financial management for Christians. Do you remember that? So let's quickly just remember that we said that there is seed for the sower. We said that, remember, God has something to say about everything. And that the Bible says that you need to learn the fear of God in anything that you are doing, and that nothing comes to you spontaneously in life that as the fear of God. The fear of God must be learned. That's why David said, "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of God." This young man, I won't mention his name, visited me yesterday, and we discussed extensively. He's here this evening, but and as he was talking, I'll tell him, "Thank you very much. That thing you have just said is my sermon for tomorrow." Tomorrow being today. Now, because he said so many things that are actually in my heart and I wanted to share. So I'll refer to so many of the things that I said in my discussion with him yesterday. Now, I said that we have to learn the fear of God and that God has something to say about every aspect of life. Why did I remember him? Because I remember a statement he made. He wasn't around when we talked last week and the week before. But he made a statement that he said it appeared to him as if the foundation, that is the test of how you can handle anything in life, is how you handle money. I said it's the word of God. We read it in the last two teachings. And I think I like that expression, that we have also established it here, that the test of how you handle any other thing in life is how you handle money. Let me just say something quickly. This is just by the way, but you know the way we do this teaching. We just keep talking and we keep learning. Now, I have noticed, now the Bible says it clearly, that if you don't serve the Lord thy God willingly, all right? Notice the word willingly. He said you will serve your enemies forcefully. That was what God told the children of Israel. That you will either serve the Lord thy God willingly, with a willing heart, or you will serve your enemies compulsorily. That is, it will be imposed upon you. God will tell the children of Israel, you will come before me and offer these sacrifices. This is how you will handle your resources. He told them, and nobody enforced it per se. Now, there were a few things that could be enforced. If you stole, they probably had a law enforcement agency that will catch you and punish you for stealing. But what you did in your worship of God was a spontaneous, let me say, a free will thing. But God will tell you what to do. But nobody lays a compulsion upon you to do them. But if you don't do them, what will happen is that the Romans will come in, overrun you, and take those same things from you by force. Are you getting my point? When God took the children of Israel out of the promised of their homes, not promised land now per se, it's promised land though. But when he took them out of their homes and took them into captivity, what did he tell them? That while you are in captivity, the land will enjoy its Sabbath. That is, the principle was that you farm for 6 years. The seventh year, the land should get a Sabbath. No farming. They refused to observe it. He said, when all of you are in captivity, the land will be enjoying the Sabbath that you denied it. Now, why am I saying that? I have noticed that if Christians, that is why I said that, the things I said about serving the Lord willingly or serving your enemies forcefully. You know, recently, I'll be honest with you, I have become overwhelmed. That is, I am tired, actually, of going to church and churches, and people are always trying to raise money. Now, let me explain what I'm going to say. Now, because the argument, if you talk to a lot of men of God, if they are, some of them, be honest with you, it's as if, how else do we get money to do the things we are supposed to do? Now, some of the things that people do, to me, they are very, very bad. They are very bad. In that you tell lies. Now, when I say lies, the story might be accurate, but the foundation upon, that is, the application is inaccurate. Now, let me say what I'm trying to say. Somebody will tell you, like, I was having problems, then I gave $1,000 seed. And since that day, my finances broke open. Now, I'm telling all of you, take $1,000. Now, you see, let me tell you the truth. That's a lie. I don't care what anybody says. That is a pure lie. Now, I'm not saying the person did not give $1,000 seed and his finances did not break open. I'm not saying that. But to tell all of us to start doing what he did or she did is pure lie. Why? Because there is no scripture that says, take $1,000 seed or even take any seed at all and use it to break your problems. God never said that.
My wife was telling me this morning. She said, are you saying those things never happen? I said, that's not the issue. But once a man repeats it and tells me everybody start doing it, then it becomes a lie. Error is not something that has no foundation in truth. No. Error is when truth is carried beyond its limits. Are you getting my point? You're a lawyer, my man. If you carry American jurisprudence, how do you call it, and you bring it to Nigeria, it knows it no go work. Are you lying? No. But you have crossed the borders. You have reached Nigeria. It has become error. I hope you are getting the principle of what I'm trying to say. Now, so why I make that statement I made is that one of the issues is that when Christians don't learn the truth, when they don't learn the truth, they are forced to practice errors. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you don't do things willingly, as God ordained it, people will force you to do the wrong things. Listen, the main problem with people is that they don't like sound doctrine. And that's what I try to teach. There are things before I want to ignore talking about. Then these days, I make statements. And why am I making the statement? I'm making the statement so that whoever wants to believe the truth, we have a reference. Now, I make the statement I know nobody will accept. But I make it believing that if somebody wants to obey the truth, it will have a reference point. I hope you are getting my point. What I'm explaining is this. My desire is to teach what the Bible expects believers to practice. So that the Bible says you will no longer be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I went somewhere recently and the man of God was preaching very powerfully. So we enjoyed many of the things he said. We really had a nice time. I was with a friend of mine. So we left and we're talking about it. But just before we parted, I said, for the records, you know I don't believe what the man said. He said, I know. I said, good. So let's, because we've been talking and laughing since. I said, meanwhile, before we part, for the record, you know I don't agree with him. He said, I know now. I said, good. And quickly, to be sure, I said, listen, this is the way it is. You know, that it is the blood of Jesus and it's the sacrifice that delivers you from all oppression was done by Jesus. I hope you understand that. I hope you understand. You see, because the impression people were being given is that the reason that people sacrifice animals to curse you, you know, that when people want to do evil against you, they will go and sacrifice animals. He said, okay, you sacrifice a bigger offering to God. So the man sacrificing a cow, you can sacrifice ₦1,000,000. That way, your offering is bigger than his own. I say it has nothing to do with defense against evil. Do you get my point? It might be sweet and romantic when we are discussing it. But reality is that that has nothing to do with defense against evil. I always say, when Balaam opened his mouth and said there is no enchantment against Jacob, you know, they were just lying down. They were just sleeping and gisting. So, boy, what happened last week when you were in law school? After that, and when you were driving from Agbani, how was the road? They were just discussing. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They were not trying to antagonize the altars of Balaam. Not at all. The Bible says when the ways of a man pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him compulsorily. Are you understanding me? I'm just trying to establish some things today that, please, what we are doing is to teach what the Bible says Christians should practice. That way, it becomes easy for you not to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Do you feel what I'm trying to say? Please, because one of the things about people, let me just add, this is also doctrine I'm teaching, is that the grace of God I discovered this after now, just thinking about it, I think is the most difficult things for people to practice. What do I mean? This is the way human beings are. If a man is bound and God says, you are free, you can go, he seems not to want to go free. So he stays in the place of bondage. Then after that, a man comes and says, do you want to go free? He says, yes. Do you want to be free? The guy says, yes. Pay ₦500,000 now. Then you pay ₦125,000 next week. Then pay ₦125,000 6 weeks after. Then after that, you'll be paying ₦10,000 yearly, monthly for the next 10 years. If you break it, you are back in bondage. Do you know the moron we pay? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Meanwhile, God came and said, oh boy, those gates are open. You are free. You can go anytime you want. You don't have to stay here. The guy will stay there. He will refuse to go. If you push him out, you keep on looking around whether police wants to rearrest him. Yet, if a man who doesn't have any power, not to even compare it in magnitude to that of God, comes and says, pay money and you will go free, the guy will pay and feel free. Do you understand the principle? Once he has paid, he feels like, I have done what I am supposed to do. Now I can lay claim to my freedom. That is in exact opposition to grace. Grace says, the only reason why I'm free is because I was told by God that I'm free. What did you do to purchase freedom? Nothing. I just believed that they said that I'm free. You get my point? I'm sorry to say this, but this is why it is so easy to make a merchandise of the gospel, if you are anointed especially. It is very easy. Because maybe somebody says, I want to understand the scriptures. I could tell the person that you want to understand, just say, God, I want to understand, and sit down daily and read it, and you will have understanding. Most people will accept. But I said, break the mind offering for understanding. That guy will sell his car because he wants to understand. Are you seeing the point I'm making? Do you follow what I mean when I say that grace seems to be the most difficult thing for people to practice? Because this is the way it works. A man is about to fall off a cliff. Grace says, don't reach out for anything, just fall. Nothing will happen. You look the person talking to you, says something is wrong with you. But if a spider spins a web, do you know he'll reach for the spider's web? Try not to fall. Ordinary spider. Why? Because he's doing something. They've told this story again and again, that when a man is drowning, as long as he still has energy, is the wrong time to try to rescue him. That let him try. When he has fainted from exhaustion, the expert swimmer will go in and move his limp body out. But if you try while the guy still has energy, one thing you cannot persuade him to not to do is to reach out for you. Meanwhile, that is the way by which he will kill both you and himself. Please, let me say this as a beginning for record purposes. You don't give to God so as to prosper. You don't buy prosperity with money from God. Let me say this for record purposes. I will develop on it as we go on. It is not possible to give money so that God can give you back a car. It is spiritual stupidity and madness. Let me say it clearly to you. Your enemies are not afraid of your offering. You can't give God enough to defend you against your enemies. It's not possible. You either accept what he has said, that he's your defense, or you forget it. Do you understand my point? You know, something happened today, which I just want to use to illustrate. This morning, I was brushing, I was in the room, so I was moving up and down. Then I had a knock on the door, soft knock, and the person says, Daddy. So instinctively, I thought it was Akinolu, that's my son. So I was brushing, so I mumbled something like, come in now. So I was trying to get, I was just moving up and down the room. And it didn't come in. So I went to the door and opened the door. And my eyes came down to the level where his head is supposed to be. And what I saw were adult knees. So I raised my head and saw it was a young woman that just started living with us. And that's how she addresses me, Daddy. Do you know, there was a spiritual thing that came to my mind. Because when he didn't come in, I was wondering what was wrong. Because my son doesn't do that. My wife calls him Buster. Like he bursts into the room. Once you see the door just swing open, bam, you know it's Akindu that has come. Now, why am I saying this? He's my son. He has absolute freedom around. Let me ask you a simple question. What offering can he give me to give him greater rights to burst into that room? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There is nothing extra he can do. In fact, I'm telling this story because it surprised me that this guy tapped on the door and said Daddy, and waited. So I went there like, what is the problem? That was what came to my mind. What is the problem? Why is he standing at the door? Only for me to open the door and find it was not him. Then it made sense that I can look here, stand at the door, knocking, saying Daddy, not him. He kicks the door down. You understand my... Interestingly, if for any reason... the door is locked. He will get there, push the door. The door will open. Open the door for me now. I mean, the guy starts banging the door. He has never given me an offering. You know, that's the problem. He bought that freedom with nothing. He bought it just with just being there, which is exactly what God said in Isaiah chapter 55. He said, come, you that's hungry and thirsty. He said, come and buy without money and without cost. So I was telling my wife this morning, so why do you use the word buy? He said, because they are very common is a cost. It's payment. That for just coming, he has received something. Do you understand my principle? Listen, most of the things we teach is nothing but a demonstration of faithfulness. Because like I was quoting to you earlier, that the foundation for your ability to handle things with God is on how you handle busy things like money. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. Please get that clear. Because I see people getting excited that I just rushed forward and I dropped. And the fellow is telling me because he feels like, I've just secured my breakthrough. Like I always say, if any man is telling me, this is for your breakthrough, I say, I broke through before God called you to ministry. I'm serious about that. That is, before God called you to ministry, breakthrough was conferred upon me. I hope you are getting the point. Listen, this is sound doctrine. I told you last time that, in fact, interesting enough, I read a page, there's a book my wife is reading now about Hudson Taylor. And one man made a statement there that Christians often don't give because they are not given the opportunity or they don't make it possible, open the door or the avenue for them to. It is not because they are selfish people necessarily. Listen, any man who has the Spirit of God in him, this is the way God does it. He has the ability to give and give excessively. He has what I call the spirit of the Macedonians. Do you get my point? And what doctrine, the teaching of the word of God does actually, is to remove hindrances from people's faces. I just wanted to say all of these things as a foundation for what we are, well, just to get some things clear. Because I said the issue is that people should stop being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. But you cannot stop being tossed to and fro if you don't have the right doctrine. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's why I say you have to serve God willingly. Otherwise, you serve your enemies forcefully. That's the way it works. The only way to maintain your freedom is to know the true knowledge of God. Are you getting my point? Now, let's go back into the main thing that we've been discussing. So I said that, you know, in previous times, we said, of course, we are talking about financial management, biblical financial management, that in every money that God gives you, there is what the Bible calls seed for the sower, and there is bread for the eater, or what the Bible calls bread for food, is the same thing. Then last time we established that there are, of course, I talked about one kind of seed, but I said there are two kinds. But I said the first one is what I call spiritual seed, if I may just quickly add to it. And the second one is physical seed. There are two kinds of seed. In every money that God gives you, there are two kinds of seed. No, I said there's bread for food, which is the one you eat for yourself, spend on yourself, and there is seed for the sower. And I said that seed for the sower, there are two types. There is spiritual seed. What is spiritual seed? We said that is the one that you offer on the altar of the priestly corner of your life. Remember what I said last in previous teachings? That in your life, there is what is called the priestly corner of your life. Please, I don't have time to... I'm going to talk about that again further today. But I don't want to go over everything we said in the past. Let me just keep going. And we said that what happens actually is that the Bible says there is what is called treasure in heaven. And that treasure in heaven is never free. God does not give anybody treasure in heaven for free. But treasure in heaven is bought with your acts of faithfulness. I prefer that word. Your acts of obedience. Your acts of love. Things that you do in denying yourself so as to be a blessing to somebody else. It procures for you what? Treasure in heaven. Are you getting the point I'm making here? So we said that treasure in heaven. Now, there's something I'm going to connect with, which is what I want to go on from today. But that treasure in heaven, which is procured by the offerings offered on the altars in the priestly corner of your life, is actually the foundation for every other thing. We establish that anyone worshiping God, the worship of God to the natural man is often a waste of time and of resources. If a natural man observes you serving God, you are wasting time. You are really wasting time. We said under the old covenant, God told the children of Israel that every year you will take a tithe of your increase, take it to the presence of the Lord and spend it. Finish it. Kill everything. Which an economist will look at and say, you could have reinvested that money even if you didn't want it. But God said, if you invest it, everything will die. Do you understand my point? That Jacob, when he was going to give God what he promised, what did he do? He just killed the animals and set them on fire. To a natural person, that's a waste. And what I said, what we did explain last time is that the things that you do in that priestly corner of your life may appear like a waste. But listen to this, you cannot stop doing it. That is what sustains the physical things that you're actually doing. Are you getting my point? Now, please bear that in mind. Now, there's something I want to use. I want to continue from there because I realize that, one, as a matter of foundation for life, we cannot say this enough. Then second, so that people will understand balanced doctrine, we have to keep saying it also. And that's this issue of spiritual seed. I want to spend time again, at least for some minutes today, to explain it before I now go into the other kinds of things, if we have time to get there. Now, let's quickly read from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. This is a portion, if I don't know why we're even opening there, because we all know it very well. I don't think it's really necessary. We're talking about faith. The Bible says that, I want to just read from verse 3. It said, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. We have to understand that. Now, because of time, I won't read other scriptures I wanted to read. That from Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, and he dreamt that there was this, he saw a great tree, that's all the stories, and then the tree was cut down. Daniel said that the purpose of everything that was going to happen was to help Nebuchadnezzar understand that it's heavens that rule on this earth. That it's the heavens that rule. That God indeed reigns in the affairs of men. Very, very important. Now, what am I saying? The Bible says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen are not made out of things that are visible. This is why I'm saying this. What makes you a believer? I keep on saying this. It's not that you go to church. Do you understand? What makes you a believer is that what? You believe something. Sounds funny, but that's a fact. That you're not a believer because you said you're a believer, but you're a believer because you believe something. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, what do you believe as a believer? He said, by faith, we understand that what we see on this earth was not made out of physical things that appear to connect to them. Let me say it again. That if you see a man succeed financially in business, that you can never say it is because he went to one good school or he had connections. God said no. If you say that, you are not a believer. You don't believe anything. So I'm explaining this, that as a believer, if you understand that, then your attitude when it comes to financial things must also reflect it. Do you get my point? Now, I told you that I had a discussion with somebody yesterday, and a lot of those discussions I'm going to repeat for you today. Now, he told me a story. Maybe I should just mention your name to make life easier for me. Don't you think so? All right, it was Brown. All right. Now, we discussed a number of things, but now that I've mentioned his name, there are stories I can't tell you anymore. So please, you have to just bear with that. But then other ones you'll still get. Now, he described some things for me, which was interesting. That he had colleagues, whether they are friends or enemies, I don't know. But he had colleagues that they did house job for 1 year. And for the full year that they were earning money, they hardly gave anybody a dime. Not out of wickedness, but out of perceived necessity. That is, a man said, I need this money to be able to travel abroad. So he gathers every dime. Why does he want to go abroad? He wants to get a stamp on his passport saying that he has been abroad once, so that when he finally wants to go to America, they will respect him. You know, you understand the principle? You know, if you go to the UK embassy and you have a Netherlands, visa on your passport, they feel like you've been traveling. they are more disposed to giving you a visa. So sometimes people do that just to make themselves appear more, let me use the word, marketable at the embassy. Believe me, that guy believes nothing, spiritually speaking. Because if you believe something, you will understand that the Bible says that promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south, but God is judge. He lifts up one and brings out another. Are you getting my point? That the day God is ready, if he becomes ready on your behalf to go somewhere, they will pursue you to your house with a passport, with a visa. I've told the story of a friend of mine, it happened to. People were just filling forms carelessly. She also filled a photocopied version of a photocopied photocopy. You know the way it goes, very faint, and submitted it. In the whole nation, they chose only two people she was amongst. And she did not even know, because her mother-in-law just died and they were going about the funeral. Then somebody said, have you not found out that you have been selected to take a one-month tour of about six European countries, all expenses paid plus $1,000 for pocket money? Now, that's how bad it was, that by the time she finally got to the, I think it was the Belgian embassy, they were surprised that a Nigerian could keep them waiting for weeks. That we gave a Nigerian visa, and the person has not yet died in collecting it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That the day the Belgian ambassador phoned her house and said, do you want us to courier your passport back to you, or you will come to Abuja to collect it? The Belgian ambassador phoning somebody in the house. She told me then that she told her husband, he held the phone and said, my husband, I told you I'm important. The Belgian ambassador is on the line. Why? Because God said this is the time. I know her very well. My good friend cannot recognize Ikeja Airport. Before that day, she couldn't. That is, you know what I mean by that. The only sea she ever crossed was that River Niger, if you can call it a sea. Do you understand my point? That's it. We have come to understand that. That's what makes us believers. Therefore, it reflects on how we spend money. Do you understand my point? That is, I understand that, listen, I will not prosper anyway if the priestly corner of my life is neglected. So what is my problem? That if God wants to get me anyway, I must be pleasing to him. So why am I pretending? Because I've told you the main thing with God, it's not that God wants you to bribe him. No, it's just that God will not reward unfaithfulness. He said, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy waters. That is, the commitment to God is what compels him to bless. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. It is not as if God needs you to give him money. No, it is just that if you don't do certain things, you know what God notices or God reads? He's saying that you are not expecting blessings from my hand. Do you understand my point? No, it's like you want to marry a young woman and you fix wedding for December and you never went to her father to go and say, good morning, sir. The man will know you really don't plan to marry this girl. No, it's not as if good morning is payment for the girl. It's just that if you never came with a bottle of wine to say, I was just passing by, so I said, let me just say good morning, then you obviously are not a serious potential son-in-law. I'm saying that there are things we don't do that God reads as the fact that you are not expecting blessing from his hand. It is not as if he needs bribery. It is just that if you walk in a particular fashion, it is clear that you are not believing God for blessing. That your prosperity, your promotion is not coming from God. And God, therefore, is not compelled to bless you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He that comes to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what he's saying. Do you understand that principle? That's why what we are teaching is actually a matter of faithfulness. Because how you act depends on where you expect your blessing to come from. That's why you hear me say it all the time. You can never persuade me that money is an American. You can't. Yeah, prosperity is not a British citizen. Do you get my point? Well-being and financial security was not made in Europe. God is judge. He lifts up one and brings out another. So if God lifts you up in Rwanda, you are lifted. Do you get my point? If God decided that it is in Kotangora, no, listen, that Bill Gates will be phoning you to say, fellow billionaire, how are you doing? Then know that of a truth, prosperity can flow towards Kotangora, and if you behave otherwise, then you are not expecting anything from the hands of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's all that God is saying. God is not like, come and bribe me. No, I have to know that it's from my hands that you're expecting blessing. Remember what I said? God is not demanding, therefore, that you should be impulsive. This impulsive attitude is not what God is asking from believers. You know my impulsive attitude? If you wake up in the morning, suddenly you have a flat tire, and so you look and say, I need new tires. What do I do? Let me go and give offering of old tubes in church. When I drop the tubes, God will reward me with tire. Listen, Bible says God is not mocked. He said, what is man sows? No, he said that I, the Lord, I test the heart before I judge the quality of your seed. You have not because you ask not. We don't seem to read our Bibles correctly. Do you follow what I'm saying? However, we are teaching what? Faithfulness. That God said, there is seed for the sower and there is bread for food. Let me tell you something. This is what God is saying. They asked Jesus at a point in time. They said that, should we pay taxes to Caesar? And he took a coin. He said, whose likeness and whose inscription is this? They told him Caesar. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God. What am I trying to say? You must never eat the portion of your money that is seed for the sower. And you must not sow the portion that is bread for food. There is a time for everything, he says. So you must not use God's time for Caesar. And you must not use Caesar's time for God. That's what he was saying. Therefore, God is saying you have to learn to number the resources that I have given to you. Are you getting my point? The ability to count is a sign of spirituality. What I'm trying to say is that to be able to sit down and consider. No, it's important. He said, which one of you will want to build a tower? Who will not first sit down and count the cost? Believers like to walk as if it's thinking is alien to spirituality. But I always say it's a cover up for irresponsibility. Don't mind all this one because the Spirit of God told me. You know, people who are basically irresponsible, they are waiting for the Spirit of God to wake them up in the morning and say, brush your teeth. So why is your mouth smelling? He said, my spirit did not say brush this morning. Instead of the guy to say that I don't have toothpaste. He said it is because the spirit did not say brush. Are you getting what the point I'm trying to make? So please, brethren, don't ever forget. I said I wouldn't go over this thing, but I'm tactically going over it again. But let me just get back to what I want to say. So, now, I have also realized that as a believer, if you believe in spiritual things, what marks you out, listen, different from the person beside you, is the fact that you recognize that spiritual things exist and you act like you recognize so. Brown was telling me yesterday, no, don't know our discussion. He said that there are times people who say that, you know, maybe you give money to something, people will tell you you are foolish. When he said that, I said, then you are beginning to get it right. Because if you spend money exactly like the unbeliever, you are exactly like him. You don't believe anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, it is right, spiritually speaking, that one day the man says, why have you not eaten? I said, boy, I'm broke right now. He said, what happened? He said, last week I gave this money for this particular purpose. He said, no, but I saw you last week with 5,000. I said, okay, that one. You know what happened was that, now, you can give him any stupid, what I mean by stupid now, in his own eyes, though, maybe you say you gave the money as an offering, or you went to, you know, they told you they were visiting a motherless baby's home, so you gave it to the motherless baby's home. Or there is somebody, that man has been a blessing to me in the past. He was passing by, and I felt that I should honor a prophet. Now, all of this, do you understand what I'm saying? To him is foolishness. Because that was the last 5,000 that you had. It's a matter of understanding. Are you getting my point? Let me tell you one small story that will make you laugh. One day, when I was a house officer, when I was being paid 700 naira a month as salary. So, one day I was dancing. I was feeling very happy. Hey, I was feeling cool. Then one of my colleagues, Jerry came and said, Blackie, that's what they used to call me then, my fellow house officers. He said, Blackie, what's going on? I said, they just delivered my Bible. The boy looked at me. I said, yes, the companion Bible by R.W. Bollinger. I bought it for 250 naira or so. The guy looked at me. He said, "Blackie, you don't begin Chris." He's a worry boy. The guy yelled at me, said, "Blackie, you don't begin Chris." His own is at number one. Out of this meager income, of which we know you, you don't even do any PP. You have committed 200 and something naira to buying a Bible. Okay, fine. On top of that, the stupid investment arrived and you are rejoicing, you know? You are just... The guy looked and said, "This guy, something must be wrong with him." I remember one day I was talking with a few friends. I said something like, that I pledged this particular amount in a particular place. Somebody there said, "Come on. Like, you mean you are able to, you know, that amount of money out of this little money that you have?" Now listen, that is because I recognize that there is a spiritual side to life. Do you understand my point? Listen, I don't want to appear as if I'm sounding that giving crazily is not good. No. I am just saying that, please, it is not to bribe God. He is not bribed. After all, somebody came once and told Jesus Christ. No, Jesus was standing and he said, "Look at that woman." And the woman dropped 2 mites. And Jesus said, "That is her last earning, or the last money she had to live on." He said, "That woman has given more than everybody else." Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, Jesus did not say that she's being foolish. But you also recognize that nobody stood there and said, "This is the key to your breakthrough." You know, you understand what I'm trying to say? Nobody did. And that's the one I don't like. Because let me say it for records again. Let me say it for the records. If you have been given so that this big key for your breakthrough, your key just went out into the well. You understand my point? And you're not likely to find it. Because Paul said, "Even if I give my body to be burned, and these things are not motivated by love," he said, "I do what? Profit nothing." Please, I don't have all the time. Let me explain what I'm going to say and conclude there now. See, priestly corner of life exists in every money that you give, you earn. Do you understand my point? I'll give myself as a testimony, as an example, not a testimony, just as an example. I work, I have a secular job, all right, and I get paid a salary regularly. I mean, every month. Do you get my point? Before the money is paid, I have already decided long before what is going to wear. There was a time I was telling this guy yesterday that I was expecting some money, and my wife had been planning for the money, you know, like when this money arrives. In fact, I am going to do what I have planned. you get my point. So one day she asked me that, "How far?" I said, they said that they're about to pay the money. She said, "Good." I said, "By the way, I think that the Lord wants us to..." I said, "I think the Lord wants it." She was in the kitchen that day, I think, cutting something. She just did like, "Fine," and continued what she was doing. Now, the way I shared out the money to all the places it went, no, it didn't pinch me at all. You know why? The pinching day was the day I wrote it off. After that, if you say 50,000 is for this particular place, in my mind, it's not my money. You can spend it anywhere you like. Are you getting my point? Why? Because I have already made room in my heart for that expenditure. That's what I want to emphasize. Most people cannot operate their priestly offices. You know what I mean? They cannot service the priestly altars because they don't make room. You know, one of the problems I have with this offering time, blessing time, is that, you know... People give God change, and it annoys me. Maybe I should just go into that. When you say you give to God, you know God knows the chop. And it's not, he doesn't buy his food with naira, even if he was buying food. You can't cook enough amala to make God salivate. He doesn't. You understand what I meant to say? There is nothing you can do. So when you say you are giving to God, what is it that you are doing with money that you call giving to God? Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Now, because I need to explain that. Because the Bible says, talking about the priestly corner, it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and the first of all thy increase." Now, if you're honoring the Lord with your substance, now, what I've been emphasizing today is the fact that as a believer, you are not too poor that you can't do it. It is that you have no understanding, that is your problem. Or you have no faith. You don't recognize that God is looking at it, that you are not expecting blessing from his hand. That's why you're not doing it. It's like the Israelites not offering sacrifices regularly. God said, you see, you have denied the covenant. I hope you are getting my point. You're following what I'm trying to say. Now, if you understand that, therefore, you plan ahead. Oh God, how do I explain this? You must always make the room that when this comes, this is a priest's corner. That must be sacrificed. Again, it is not like, you know, when I do that, God will give me this. That's not the issue. It is more like that is a covenant. It's a matter of faithfulness. You are following what I'm saying? Now, I was not saying that how do you honor God when you say this is what I do? Now, I don't have time to go into all the, you know, using the scriptures to explain all these things. I just want to, I will make the point because our time is really running. Number one, of course, there are many ways. One is that if God says honor somebody, you must honor the person. And honoring the person is given to the Lord. Now, let me tell you something about honor. You know, I was telling you, Brown, when we were discussing yesterday. For example, God said you must honor your parents. Listen to me. It has nothing to do with poverty or lack. It doesn't have anything to do with that. You know, there's a story I heard recently. In fact, I think I mentioned it to you again, Brown, yesterday. I didn't tell you the story, but I used the expression from the story. It was my pastor in Lagos that told the story. I don't know whether it's a good story. When it really happened, I don't know. That's my pastor in Lagos. He said, one big man, very rich man, an MD. The man is not a very righteous man, so he used to do bad things. So he had an affair with one of the ladies that worked for him, and his wife found out because the young woman was pregnant. So one day he was eating, in the morning, eating. His wife came and said, Jolene is pregnant. Said the man looked up and said, that's her problem. That's her problem. So the woman said, you are responsible. So the man said, okay, in that case, that's my problem. So when the woman looked at how unruffled the man was, he said, in fact, I'm packing out of your house. Louis said, that is your problem. Are you getting my point? What I want to say is that everybody has his own problem in life. Your problem is to honor your father. His problem is whether he needs the money or not. It is not your problem. After all, he doesn't need the money. It is not your money. Do you get my point? There's a practice people used to practice, and it's very good. You know, those days, a Cypriot practice a lot like this. A young man leaving school, the first job he gets, the first salary he's paid, he gives to his father. It's a very good practice. Very, very, very sound. Why? Because the Bible said that if I am a father, God was talking about it. He said, where is my honor? He was talking about sacrifices. That you bring me this, bring me that, bring me that. Can you give it to your governor? He said, take it to your governor, whether he will take it from you. Malachi chapter 1. God was explaining that a father, he said, a son honors the father. What was he saying? That a son offers sacrifices to the father. I'm using some words. Are you getting my point? Now that I have told you the name Brown, I can't tell you some of the things we discussed now. Anyway, I was discussing with some brethren. let me take myself as an example. For a long time, as a poor house officer and resident, what I desired in my heart was to buy my father a car. But I didn't have money, so I didn't buy him. Right? And then one day, as God does it in my life, they will owe me money for a whole year and then pay suddenly. It was the Spirit of God said, this is your chance. Do you understand my point? So my wife and I discussed, we gathered everything and bought the car. You know, let me explain to you the joy when we got home. I drove home to go and register in my hometown. You know? Then we went home for Christmas. We just drove home. Very nice, long Mercedes. You know, we just go home. So my father said, you changed your car. I removed the keys. I said, no, that is not mine. Do you get the point? I can never forget. No, that's part of my problem at home. That's my relationship. They think I have money. They don't understand that that was one whole year's call duty allowance. It was a whole year's call duty allowance. It wasn't like I had money, I didn't see what to do with it. So people look at it and say, this guy, no good sweet for him, buddy. Nah, lie. It was that I made room years ago. Do you understand the point I'm making? One of my friends, one day he said that, well, the lady is actually my friend, the husband. She was talking about the husband. That all the money they earned, they built a small house for the husband's father in their hometown. Now, people think that, these boys are doing very well in Lagos. Lagos is good. It's a lie. I know them. If you see the stupid old car the guy was trucking along when he was sending money for cement and sand and roofing sheets. He said, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days might be long. Paul said that was the first commandment that had any promise attached to it. I remember a friend of mine, I called him once. I said, you want to sell out the ministry? Listen. No, it wasn't even ministry. I just told him that, listen, you have an issue with your father. And let me use this word we have not now learned. That is your problem. You understand? It is not his problem at all. You had better make up your mind. I said, I know you don't have money, but next time you are going home, buy a pen. For your information, the first thing I ever bought for my father was a pair of Hinks men's briefs. You understand? You know Hinks? You know, complete singlet and pants. You know the way the Hinks, 100% combed, cutting, all those long story. That was all I could afford, really. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Those are the little things. Why? You're paying me 700 naira a month. I got to eat. I got to transport myself. But God forbid, I can't remember ever in recent, in fact, since entering home and I don't have a gift. No, I don't do that. No. It has nothing to do whether they need it or not. My parents-in-law are well-to-do. In fact, the problem I have buying things for my parents-in-law is what to buy that they don't have. No, that is my problem. That is my problem. Yet, ask my wife, we sit down for weeks imagining, okay, no, this one, she will say, mommy won't like that one. No, not like that, she won't use it. We keep on, we will try, but no matter what, when we are getting there, if it is rolls of toilet roll, we will carry. Are you getting my point? No, I have bought a bag of rice before I reached the place and saw maybe 100 bags that they are planning to share. No, but I'll still bring my bag. No, you think next year I won't bring the bag? I'll bring it again. Like I said, that's your problem. No, this is my own problem, you understand? No, I will say, no, the other one that you have 100 bags is your problem. Are you getting my point? So I won't let your problem disturb my own problem at all. Are you understand what I'm trying to say? Why? Because the commandment is that honor thy father and thy mother. It's not like I have nothing. I always say, there is no rich man that doesn't eat pineapples. I remember those days when I was, before I married my wife, so if I'm coming to Benin and I'm going to go to their house, then they used to sell apples a lot. I think they banned it or something. I don't see it anymore. Apples. Yes. Then once I get to Tejo, where I'm taking the Degwe bus to go to Benin, the last thing I do is to, the boy is selling apples. You know the interesting thing about me? I refuse to eat apples. I thought they were too expensive. I'm serious. I never bought an apple to eat in my whole life. All that season before they banned it. People say, why? I said, listen, I don't derive utility equivalent to the cost. You didn't study economics. No, they call utility. You understand what I'm saying? I said, this thing is 40 naira. A mango of the same size is 5 naira. And when I finish my combination of permutation, I've lost appetite for the apple. But I will buy it. I'll buy like 10, 20, carry it. He said, you will eat it, you will derive satisfaction. No, the extreme of my own was that you will offer it to me. And I said, do you like it? He said, yes. I said, in that case, eat it, it will satisfy you. As for me, I will feel bad. No, now that is just me. I just used to feel like, this is not fruit. What is the difference between orange? No, that was just me. But the point I'm making is that then I always bought. No, I had to. Why? Because it's a commandment. That's how you honor God. There was something God said. He said, you shall rise before the aged and bow your head, is it your knees, before the gray-headed. He said, that way you will be honoring your God. And he's an old man you are bowing for. Do you get my point? That is number one. Now, I, like I said, because of time, I'll just keep speaking, all right? I'll just say as many things as I can. As we're talking about the issue of the priestly corner of your life, you must never neglect it. Are you getting my point? Charitable giving, don't be impulsive. That is primarily. Primarily, make a room. You must always make room for things. Things you don't make room for, you can't do them. I was telling you earlier that, you see, I am one person that's why Kingsley takes announcement the way he does. This is Kingdom World Ministries. It is funded by free will donations, offerings of people. Now, if you are willing to give an offering, there is a basket there, or, you know, whatever it is. But I swear, this is blessing time, offering time. Everybody drop 10, 10. If I count in the change, it irritates me. Are you getting my point? I believe that the Bible says that on the first day of the week, as every man has increased. Now, we generally in our culture is the first day of the month. You understand? We don't get paid monthly. It's every month. We don't get paid weekly. It's every month. So ahead of time, you know what's coming to you, for goodness sake. You don't have to wait for Kingsley to say that. Look, you know, like I always say, I thank God for people like Bishop David Udeh, for Kennedy Hagin and co, who taught me sound doctrines. When I go to John, I see pastors complaining, you know, we don't have money because you don't give money. I said, that is not why you don't have money. I'm explaining that. You know you are earning pay. You understand my point? So you make room ahead of time. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, the Bible says, he that gives to the poor honors his maker. Are you getting me? That is why I don't too understand too much when people are promising you breakthrough for an offering only when it is dropped at their feet. What about the one you drop in the motherless baby's home? Are you getting my point? What about the guy next door who you know that this guy, the reason why this young man is not making any progress is because nobody's helping him. So you call the young man, you give him advice, you know, are you getting what I'm going to say? That is, you help somebody, you know, the young boy is a child, you know the problem these guys have in that house, that they don't have food to eat. But nobody tells you about that, you understand my point, because it's not laid at the apostles' feet. What am I saying? Make room in your life. That's how you honor God. Now, listen, when you give to the work of God, I will say clearly, it's also honoring God. And listen, let me tell you the way I do things. There are ministries that I support on a regular basis. You know Kingdom World has to be one of them. Nobody believes in Kingdom World more than I do. Or as much as I do. Not even more. Kingsley, you don't worry. You don't even come near. You know what I need to do to send you away from Kingdom World? I go box you 10 times. You will run. But even if they box me, Kingdom World... No, when I'm walking about, that is Kingdom World Ministry going. They say, where's Kingdom World? They say, see him. He's the one driving that gray, that ash car. It's true. I'm telling you the truth. I go to a church. Are you getting my point? There are people I know, committed ministers, who are doing great works. Periodically, I remember, we have not done this for a while. I write a check. I post it. You know the interesting thing? I have never been so broke that I forgot. Are you hearing my point? No. There has been no need great enough to take, you know, you cannot give to Caesar what is God's. That's what I keep telling people. Look, in recent times, there was a time I needed money plenty. That is, as I'm issuing the checks, this check, okay, shout out, bye-bye. What I'm trying to say is that it's not out of abundance. No, it is out of what? Commitment. That is, I have made room for that. And that's what I try to tell believers. Do that, and nobody will be swaying you to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It's because a lot of pastors feel that the people have money, they are not giving. Now, I don't care whether, like I always say, that's their problem. You know, everybody has his own problem. Okay? If they are not giving, that is their problem. That doesn't give you the right to force it out of their pocket. You're not an oppressor. You understand? Jesus said, feed my sheep. He didn't say milk my sheep. You know, there's a difference between feeding my sheep and milking them. There is a world of difference. There is a world of difference. I hope you are getting my point. I'm talking about honoring God. I've not finished. Now, this guy says something, and that's Brown. I have to give the gist. So actually, he came to see me because he came to give me some money. That's for Kingdom Word. So I checked the letter. Nothing was written on it. So I jokingly said, is this for me or for Kingdom Word Ministries? And when people give me money, I always like them to state. He now said, why should anybody give you money? I said, you are very stupid. Why should... I said, I'm a man of God. Listen to me. I am entitled to it. Now, listen. Paul said, there are times you forgo of your rights for certain reasons. But it's an entitlement. He said, yeah, it's true. I didn't think about that. Yeah, I better start thinking about it. Next time, you bring two offerings. One for me, one for Kingdom. There was one young man. I'm sure he will listen to this thing I'm saying. I know he will listen to it. And I know you are listening to it right now. He's on tape that he's listening to it. Anytime he sends us a check, I'd warn him or send us... I say, always specify. I say, listen, I'm a man of God. I receive gifts. Now, for your information, it took me time to adapt to that. And let me tell you the truth. It's nothing but pride if you say you don't. It's lack of understanding. It's like telling people don't perform the priestly function in your life. So I told the young man, every time you send money, please always state. Because there are two things going on here. One, I preach a gospel. That is not Kingdom Word. The propagation of that gospel is Kingdom Word Ministries. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That if I just sit in my house, I can share the same word with my wife. It doesn't mean anything. I can record it. But what makes the Kingdom Word is that, one, we are in a place here. There's rent running on this building. You get my point? The light we're using is burning fuel. We broadcast on air. It's the spreading of that word that is the organization called Kingdom Word Ministries. So I said, there is a work of the ministry, and there is a minister of the work. I said, please, don't just send checks with my name written on it without saying anything. One day I will just chop your money. The young man, I know he's listening, he refused to take correction because I guess he didn't understand what I was saying. So I said, well, just it's better to err on the side of caution. You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. But the point I'm making is that when you're talking about honoring God, these are the important points. Now, there's one last one I must put in before I leave the matter. This is very fun, isn't it? You want to honor God? One day, carry two of your friends out and waste half of your salary for the month. Yes, I said half. Yes, I mean half. Okay, so it's too much for two people. Then gather 10 of them. You earn a lot of money. Then go to Nike Lake. If you go and eat in Nike Lake, you won't eat in your house again. It's a very good place to eat. It's only if your wife is as good as mine that you go back home to eat. It's not just the food. It's the setting. If you are going there, make sure you have a wristwatch. Because if you don't, because it's buffet, you know. You just pay money and go in, and you just keep eating. And it's not just eating, it's your environment. It's as if God threw a crystal from heaven down and then it landed there. And you understand my point. It's expensive, yes, but do it. Kingsley, I was telling you the other day that one day, it was my wife's birthday. If I do something, people will think that you have money. I didn't have money. So it was her birthday, I thought and thought. I had planned that... I'll take a few people and her out to Nike Lake for that celebration. But I now thought that no. Let me buy my wife a set of jewelry. So I paid 50,000 naira for just two small rings. If you think I had plenty of money, you are joking. But I bought it. Why? It's a word of God. Periodically, you must waste money to demonstrate the fact that you don't trust in it. Cheap things, it does not have your name written on them. When God was making things that are very cheap, he didn't write your name on them. You must not always wear the cheapest. I'm not saying... Now, you see, there's a balance in everything I'm saying. It is not always wisdom, prudence, that, I don't have money now, that let me just manage this one. Sometimes it's pure lack of faith. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Please, it is important you understand this. It is not always prudence to wear the cheapest pair of slippers they sell in the Obete. You to cross to an expensive shop one day and buy one, even if it's only church you wear it to. Look, I can use my wife as an example. She has earrings that cost 150 naira. She also has earrings that are pure, solid, undiluted gold. She wears all of them. And the same glory covers them anyway. You won't even notice. When you wear the 150 one, you say, it's Mrs. Bank, it must be expensive. No, I'm saying this sounds funny, but I'm telling you that it is the honor of God to do that occasionally. I'm balancing this and that very well. Let me just tell you how I balance that very well. Before you spend money on yourself, make sure you are spent on other people to the same level. Do you understand my point? That's how you know that you're not walking in self-interest and covetousness. It sounds funny, but I mean it. I told you that when my son Akulu was born, I told the Lord, give this boy a safe delivery. 100,000 bucks must be used in drinks and food. And I meant it. Don't think I have so much money. You get my point? But I just told the Lord, 100,000 bucks must finish. If it doesn't finish, I drop the rest in the offering basket. I don't save money. Don't think that this guy has money saved up. It has not. Look, I don't save money. I spend money. I am a spender, not a saver. No, really, I don't have time for saving money. For what now? Say rainy day. I said, with all the rain falling around you now, you are waiting for rain to fall tomorrow. Something is wrong with you. Do you get my point? One brother was telling me the other day, he said, he thinks he wants to buy an E-Class. He was telling me because he knew I would understand. He said, it's not too big. I said, listen, there are times that God wants to crown you with beauty. Don't refuse it. I said, if he comes, please don't refuse it. I said, your only problem, in quote, is that people will think you have plenty of money, but that is their problem. Don't forget about it. It is their problem. So every young man, a young woman will start coming to tell you their problem, but doesn't concern you. That is what their problem. When they come, if you have, give. If you don't have, tell them, I don't have. But as for your E-Class, drive it. If I write it on top, right on top of the car, glory. So that they will know that it is God that has crowned you with glory. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Prudence is not always of God. Sometimes it's pure lack of faith. You know what I mean by prudence? Prudence, you know, just be prudent. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why do I know this? Because I saw the principle of tithes that God gave the children of Israel. And he said, it is so that you will learn to fear the Lord thy God. Listen. Somebody like me, I spend by faith, so you can never judge how much money I have. It's not possible. You can't judge it. You can never judge it. Do you get what I'm saying? What I mean is that most people think that if you spend maybe 100,000, that means you have 500. No. The only thing you can be sure of is that I had the one I spent. That is like, if I spent 100, I didn't borrow 5. I didn't borrow 5 naira from it. But you are not sure that 5 naira remained after. That one you cannot bet on. So what are you talking about? Bible says, take no thought for the morrow. What shall I eat? What shall I drink? And wherewithal shall you be clothed? You know, teaching these teachings these days, in these last few sessions, is even reminding me of some things that God taught me long ago. He was like, you should start building a house in Enugu. I said, yes, so I really like the idea. I said, but if you think I'll be the one to go and break ground in one bush somewhere with one square, with one plot of land that sold for 5,000 naira, God forbid, but what am I saying? I will build land in the house in Enugu, yes. But as right now, the flow of cash is only good for paying rent in a good house. If you think I'm going to save up my money to build a house in Enugu, you are joking. I have told God, the day I start building, I'll start in January and finish in December. It mustn't go beyond 1 year. I'm not a poor man. Do you hear what I said? I am not a poor man. I will not be donating small bit of, you know, okay, use this one to buy louvers and keep. God forbid the bad thing. Until that time, what will I do? I will live in a good rented house. If my landlord annoys me, I will park from his house and rent a better one. And God will always give me enough money for that. But as to become distressed because I want to build a house, no, it's not the will of God. Why? After all, it's cheaper to rent than to build. Let me tell you the truth. The money you use to put a whole building, now if you invest in the business, it yields interest faster to pay better, good rent than if you tied it down. It's not, look, a house, I like what Robert Kiyosaki said, it's not an asset. Doesn't put money into your pocket. It's a good thing to have. You understand my point? It is good. So I'm not going to kill myself over it. You will say, I said, listen, I have prayed to God. I have told him the dimensions that I like. The number of rooms. I said, I'm a man of a large heart. I must have at least inside the main house 6 to 7 rooms and about 2 guest chalets outside. God, you know, say that kind of house is not squeezing those 600 square meters. One standard plot. It's not possible. You know, you have to have like 2,000 square meters. That is the will of God. And I'm not planning to live in the bush all alone. I live in a well-developed area. Now, when I calculated the cost of all of these things, it's big. So I said, God, for now, give me a good rented house. Are you getting my point? Listen, the biblical manner of managing finances is to manage it by faith. That's what I'm coming to. You can't be doing money like the world does. I always say, he that watches the wind will not sow. But he that observeth the cloud will also not receive the blessing of God when the time comes. Now, recently, I was looking at, there's a set in my house. Principally, you know, that Pioneer set. It's a good one to use to explain this principle. I looked at the set. When I bought it, was the first home entertainment unit made by Pioneer that I'd ever seen. I've seen Sony, Iowa, Hitachi, all of them. I've seen all kinds. But I'd never seen Pioneer. I only knew Pioneer to make heavy studio equipment and car stereos for Mercedes-Benz. So, that day I wanted to go and buy a small set for myself. Now, before I tell you the story, I looked at the set. I bought it for 30,000 naira when I was earning 12,000 naira a month. And I looked back and said, that was foolishness. Then the moment I said it, it was as if my spirit checked me and said, shut up. Remember, it was God giving you a blessing. And then I remembered how it happened. That day, I was too prudent to even plan for it. I don't have time to give you the whole, full story. But the day, when I entered the shop, it just stood out. Like Demon Shakaran would describe to you, it was as if a glory surrounded it. I couldn't detach myself from it. For your information, that was not the first shop I entered. I'd first gone to Mega Plaza. I went with a friend who incidentally had in his pocket, for one reason or the other, the balance of the money that needed to complete now because it was bigger than what we had planned for. So I just called the guy. I said, that said, I like it. How much is it? The guy told me the price. Oh, no. Wow. Kilonjebe. Then I just felt strongly, buy it. I looked at my pocket. I just went to my friend. Do you happen to be carrying money there? I'll give you back in the morning. This was afternoon. I will depart after that. I said, tomorrow morning, come back to my place. I'll give it to you. He said he was planning to go and pay somebody some money. But he said to bring me here first. So he just dipped his hand in the pocket and gave me the balance. Of course, I bought it and next day I was able to give him his money. When he came back next morning, I gave him the money. Now, why am I telling this story? Because I saw it recently and I'd forgotten all the stories around it and thought that I must have been wasteful. Then quickly, it was as if my spirit said, don't say that. When you bought this thing, you were happy. God gave it to you. You didn't even ask for it. It was far beyond what you had imagined. And I didn't owe anybody. I mean, it wasn't as if I just told the guy, do you have enough money here? Yes. Next morning, he came back to my house. I gave him back his money. It is not every time that it is godly to be extremely prudent. You know the interesting thing? This happened, maybe like today, that's my recounting this story to myself. It was next day I went to see my friend who said that, do you think I should buy an E-class? And instantly I remembered that story. And I said, if it works out the way you are telling me, it's the glory. It's God trying to beautify you with something. Take it. The problem with people is that they don't understand their place in life. I don't know where you understand my point. My friend Igbokwe used to say that contentment is knowing your place in life and living like you are there. I'm not a wasteful person. Don't think I'm a wasteful person. If I right now, I have an issue with expensive phones. I don't buy expensive phones. But there's, you know why? The only expensive phone I like is almost $100,000. So I said, not yet. So don't think that I have an issue completely. That I look at all these things are overpriced. I've seen one that is precisely well-priced. in my estimation. This is not a God, this is not scriptural estimation. It's just my, it seemed good in my eyes. I don't want to advertise for the phone, so let me just leave it. I'll tell you after. I'm trying to say, I don't think I'm always so extravagant in things. But there are times I look and say, this is for the honor of God. I'm telling you the truth. Recently, somebody took me in a car by accident, you know, that like, my wife left church without me because we're delaying. So she left and left a note that, look, I've gone home. Find a ride when you are coming home. So she took the car home. So the person was supposed to take me home. As soon as I entered the car, I just happened to see some clothes in the car. I said, are you people selling? He said, yes. Let me cut the long story short. At that point, no, we just turned around. They went to show me more. The person was surprised. That was a joke. I said, give me that one, I'll take it. Give me that one, I'll take it. This, and this. This shoes for sale, add it. She was shocked. At the end of the day, I said, how much is my bill? She said, $50,000. I said, okay, I'll give you tomorrow. She was knocked out. I thought I was joking. I said, no. Listen, I don't know how it happened, but at that point, I said, Banky, beauty time. Oh yeah, take it. Every single thing. I was telling you that time that there was the time I had ties. That was the day I got those ties. Listen, if you see, and anybody listening to this shouldn't listen to this in isolation. You understand my point? Because some people, they crease their head. Now they will finish. They will finish everything. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But you see, we have drawn things down from a particular point. Okay, and I said, there is seed for the sower and there is bread for food. You understand my point? There are times that what appears like bread, are you getting me, is actually honoring God with your substance. After all, the tithe that God commanded them every year was supposed to be eaten by them. It's different from food. That's not what I'm saying. But food, maybe let me just use a minute because I want to close now. To explain this, I said there is seed for the sower and there are two kinds of seed. The second kind of seed is physical investments that's meant to yield you money, and it's a godly thing to do. Did you hear what I said? Physical investments that's meant to yield you money. I don't know why people... Let me leave that. I'll talk about that later. But let me just tell you a story before I end. T.D. Jakes. After I did Woman That Would Lose, people... You know, one publisher came to him and said, let's put into a book. So he said, fine. So they went to transcribe the tapes, edited it, and brought it back to him. And he said, I think you guys missed my point. Let me write it myself. He wrote it himself and gave it back to them, and they refused to publish it. That he should pay for printing. He said he just got angry and said, I thought you guys said we should do this thing. So he wanted to leave. He said, then the Spirit of God spoke to him, invest in yourself. Why? Because they said he should bring $15,000. And that was all the money he had. He said, no. There's no how I'm investing $15,000 into this thing. So as he was leaving, he said the Spirit of God just told him, invest in yourself. I mean, this is you. Who believes in you more than you? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So he turned around and paid them the $15,000. And they gave him 5,000 books, which he sold up in 2 weeks. Did you hear what I said? In 2 weeks, everything was sold up. His money was back in his pocket with extreme profit. And more went back for printing. But let me say this. Invest in yourself. Is not that expression would not fit everybody, because I said spiritual seed must precede physical seed. This man had been laboring and working for God for more than 10 years. Nobody, what am I saying? More years before that, nobody knew him now. Decades he had been preaching and managing. But the time for harvest came, but physical investment was needed to ignite that harvest. Do you understand my point? That is, there are times God needs, in fact, I say it like this, that their treasure in heaven is so heavy, but there is a key they need to turn, physical investment, which they haven't. God tells a man, start trading in Gary, and he has refused that, no, I prefer civil service. No civil service, there is security. God says, all right, so shall you be secure. They will securely pay you your small salary, and when you have, no, really, they will pay it to you securely. Are you getting me? But if the man had taken the last month's salary and said, this is seed for the sower, but this time around physical seed, and bought the gari and started selling. It is not as if gari sells. That's not the issue. It is not that gari sells. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that God said, I will pour water upon the seed that you have planted. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm saying that there is physical seed which is needed oftentimes to ignite the release of the treasure that's in heaven. A man has treasure in heaven, doesn't plant seed on the earth. What will God do now? Nothing. I just want to connect that so that from the next time I can continue from here, because I don't want to speak longer than now.